Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody here today. My name is Kevin, and I'm a campus pastor here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, I would love a chance to get to meet you out in the courtyard after the gathering today. Just excited, really, and humbled to get to share with you God's word this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Mike started us off in a series, really mission-focused, as we were looking at how to serve the world and what that looks like. And one of the things that I remember that really stood out was just that whole idea of challenging us with our thinking of who is our neighbor. And not just that person next door, but every person that's in need, that's our neighbor. And it's our call and responsibility to care for them and love them. And another cool thing that we had an opportunity to fill out some encouraging notes and cards to send to our extended family, our families around the world. And nearly 1,000 cards got turned in to be sent out to these extended family members. So we're super, super grateful and excited for that. Josh came up last week and talked about what it looks like to serve our city and not just in our own neighborhoods, right, which is very important and critical, but also identifying needs in our city that we can come and be a part of. We can use our gifts to go and serve and care for those in our city. So an incredible time in that. And today we're going to be talking about what it looks like to serve here in our church, in our local church, the Well Community Church. Now, growing up for me, I grew up in church and it was a place we went to. That's how life was for me, right? Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that is where we went, all right? I'm not quite sure all of what we did, but that's where we went. And even into my teenage years, it was more of something we checked off the list. And in those days, much of it was really to keep my parents off my back, okay? So as long as I went to church, they were cool with me. And that's pretty much what it was. And then after my freshman year of college, when I really embraced the gospel fully, that's where God began to do this incredible work in my heart. And I began to see church as something far different than just something we checked off a list, right? It wasn't somewhere we went, but it was something I got to be a part of. I got to be a part of a community of believers, a family, if you will. And that began to change and really shape, who I was and a lot of my thinking. And over years of getting opportunities to study and even travel and go places in this world, right? And I remember going to Mexico for my first time that wasn't for fun, okay? Or for stupid, but we went and served and that began to transform my mind. Like, what in the world is there are needs in this world and ultimately ended up in Rwanda, Africa and got to serve there for a period of time in Kenya and Calcutta, India, and these things where there are things happening in this world that I just in my tiny little mind and my little world that I live in was very unaware of, not only needs, but the work that God was doing in people's lives, in his church all over this world. Right, that we are ultimately a part of sitting right here today, right? And we're gonna focus a lot of today, on us, right? But that when we understand the big church, the universal church, and what God is doing, it helps us to even better understand the value of being a participant, right? Even where we're at today. The thing about traveling, I love that. I love getting to go places and meet people and teach and all those sorts of things and serve areas in the city. That's all great. I love opportunities in that. And yet God has done something in me that I love the church. I love the local church. I love watching people be the church, right? And every Sunday, even just getting to be out in the courtyard and watching people interact, right? And greet and coffee. Could you imagine what this place would be like if we didn't have a coffee team? Could you imagine what kind of attitudes we'd all have sitting in here right now, you know? So it's just great to know. Or even when I get to talk to people on the phone, so if you're here for your very first time, I want to welcome you. And if you turn a card in, I'm going to call you tomorrow night, all right? Now, I don't want that to discourage you. It's going to be a fun phone call. And if you don't turn a card in, you're going to miss out. I'm just going to be honest, right? But I'd love to call and check in and just say, hey, how was your experience at the well? And one of the things I love hearing from people is like, you know what? It was great. We walked up. People greeted us. The coffee was good. You know, all these things, right? And then this is one of my favorite stories I get to hear often is the people sitting next to me talk to me. They introduced themselves to me and they welcomed me, you know, and I felt like I belonged. Right? And that's a great story to hear of the church working together. And I realize they just put an immense amount of pressure on each of you this morning. So let's just get it over with. Look at the person next to you and say good morning to them. And don't be offended if they turn their head the opposite way, because that happens, right? That happens. But that's part of the value of getting to be a part of a family together. Right? Is greeting one another and caring for one another, encouraging one another, welcoming others in. And that's a beautiful picture, right? It matters in a big way. And so what does it look like to live out the biblical call to be a contributor, like a contributing member of the body of Christ? Now today we're gonna take our text from Romans chapter 12, so you can turn there. And as you're turning there, just a little bit of the background on this, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote to Romans, and before Paul embraced the gospel, he'd been an avid enemy, an oppressor of the church, right? In fact, he believed that his personal mission was to destroy the church. You know, he persecuted followers of Jesus, throwing them in prison and even approving of their murders, right? And in Acts chapter 9, something significant happened as he was heading to Damascus to do that very thing, to persecute, you know, those in Damascus. And yet he had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus, all right, that changed everything in his life. As a matter of fact, Paul would never be the same, which is so interesting because when we think about Paul, as we study Paul, we realize he was a pretty phenomenal individual as he surrendered his heart to God. But what we all have in common is that when we encounter the power of God in our life, it transforms us. Like we are not the same once we meet Jesus. When we embrace the gospel, it's a game changer. Right? And that's this beautiful picture that we see ultimately in Paul's life. He became probably the most influential church planter in history, wrote 13, maybe 14 books of the New Testament, right? And in Romans specifically, you know, he wrote this book probably from the city of Corinth, you know, in that 57 AD time frame, right? Which is always in our brains. We're like, oh yeah, that 57 AD, that's it. But the main idea of this, you know, is to provide direction and encouragement, guidance to this community of believers. And it's worth noting that Romans is really Paul's only book that wasn't written for correction. Like the Romans was the idea that, you know, that Christ is the source of salvation, right? Many of the other books, he's correcting behaviors and things that were happening in the church. Chapters 1 through 11 in Romans focus on how God is holy and righteous and how we really don't measure up to that. So ultimately we see our need for the gospel and it helps us to discover our brokenness and that Jesus ultimately paid our debt in full, and that through faith, he adopts us into his family, where we become a part of the family of God, and which is just an incredibly beautiful picture. And so in chapters 1 through 11 in Romans really is like doctrine, if you will. And then in chapter 12 here, where we're gonna be for a few minutes, it kind of shifts to more practical. Right? In light of all that God has done, right? All that God has done for us, how should we then live? really is how it shifts from belief really to how, what does it look like to live out to live out our life in Christ. So in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it starts with this word, therefore, right? Therefore, based on all that we understand, all we have in the gospel, right? Who Christ is, because of all of this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, right? It's this beautiful picture, this holy sacrifice, this, what's acceptable to God. I remember a few weeks ago in our foundation series, Brad mentioned prayers of intention, like you know, getting up in the morning, right? Prayers of intention, like Lord, I'm yours. Use me, right? And it's just kind of setting that tone, if you will. And it continues on in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, or what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's this idea of not becoming so well adjusted to our culture that we fit into it without thinking, right? Like so much is happening. And if we're not careful, we don't know enough. And yet we kind of step into being a part of what it seems like many are participating in, or many are believing in. And what he's saying is, no. Pause that and let's focus on the renewing of your mind that comes through the Word of God. And so in this, we see the value. We begin to see this getting fleshed out. In verse 4, it says this, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, right? So Paul's speaking in this, he's speaking of this you know, local church idea, right? And of course, in the midst of this is this analogy, you know, that applies to the universal church, recognizing God's church all over the world, right? We have many members in one body. All the members don't have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And I think it's just important to recognize that phrase, right? Individually members of one another, and recognizing the value that we play in one another's lives. Like, you can't overstate how important this ultimately is. So here in Fresno, here in Clovis, right? This local body, the Well Community Church, right? We're called to inner community in this local setting. Paul referred to other local settings in his writings when he talked about Corinth or Ephesus or Philippi, right? These different local settings. So here we are in this Clovis, Fresno area, and this is what it's all about. And so in the text, we see the real focus becomes what these unique gifts, right? We don't all have the same function. We're different. We're unique, right? And that's a valuable thing. Right, and the beauty of those gifts and those being unique is those all make this work, right? Our focus and our vision is ultimately on Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says it this way. He says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." So we're Christ's body. We're functioning as his body, hands and feet, if you will, of Jesus, right? And we're functioning that way, which means we don't get to come to church. It means we are the church, right? We are God's church functioning in this way. We don't lose our individual identity. The idea is that you be you, right? In the context of we. You be you in the context of we. And we're doing this together. Now, I mean, isn't it kind of a cool picture to think that the same God who created mountains and oceans and the galaxies, he looked at you and thought the world needed you, right? The world needed you. The value that you bring through the body of Christ is this beautiful picture that is of necessity We are all needed in all of this. Each person brings something unique, right? So come as you are, just don't stay there. Right, it's this idea that we're gonna walk in and we may be broken. Today may be a hard day. This week may have been a hard week. We may be experiencing things that we've not experienced before, and they're difficult, right? We feel like we're stubbing our toe and it just hurts, right? Stubbing your toe, biting your cheek. These are all the things that they happen and then you're like, ow, that hurt. And then somehow or another, you do it again, right? And this is sometimes is what happens. And we feel trapped, and yet we show up here today. And can I just say, if you showed up today and you're hurting, I'm so glad that you're here. Because God has something very special and unique for you this morning, right? Something just for you. And we're gonna pray that when you walk out of here, we walk out of here different than the way that we came in because of the presence of God in our midst in all of this. And so the biblical expectation for every believer is a personal connection to and ultimately our participation in the local church. It's not just good enough that we show up, but we want to play a role in everything. And that becomes the beauty of it all, right? One of the things I've learned here at The Well is that we talk a lot about getting connected in groups and teams. And through the foundation series, we talked a lot about groups, and we're gonna talk more about groups. As a matter of fact, as the new year is coming, we're gonna be launching life groups again, and we're gonna be looking for life group leaders and all that sort. So it's all happening, it's all coming. But today we're gonna kind of focus for the remaining time on teams and what that looks like and the role that we can ultimately play together in all of this. Back to Romans chapter 12, and I just want to reread verse 4 and 5 again. For just as we have many members in one body, many members, right? You start seeing this picture in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. Aren't we glad that we all don't have the same function? We'd be fighting over holding a door open, right? Right? So we don't have all the same function, right? But it goes on and says, so we who are many are one body in Christ. That's the unifying component, that we're one body in Christ and individually members of one another, because how I function and how you function matters, right? You playing the role that God's created you for and me playing the role God's created me for, it matters because we're functioning together in all of this. So we're gonna take some time. We're just gonna look at four aspects of God's invitation to us to serve the church, all right? Just four things, and we'll be out of here in the next hour and a half. So the first thing is this, that we're encouraged to serve. Man, we are encouraged to serve. The reality is you're gifted, right? And your gifts matter, we've said that. And it's so, so important in all of this. We don't all have the same function, but we are all vital parts of the body. So every person in this room, if you put your faith in Christ, you gotta recognize that you belong here, that you're connected to God, that you matter, and that you're needed, right? Sometimes I think we just have to say out loud, I'm needed, right? And maybe there's something even freeing in that. Maybe we should just do that together, right? On three, one, two, three, I'm needed. But it's just something valuable in recognizing that God's created and shaped me and I'm needed in this body. So much of life, separates us, and the body of Christ ultimately brings us together. Now let's look at another text that Paul talks on this subject in a bit more detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 12, he says this. He says, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, saying the same thing, right? And all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, right? We all have different backgrounds. We're all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Repeat over and over. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. It is not for this reason, any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, am I not part of the body? Is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. So important. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body. So what's Paul? What's Paul doing? He's pointing out kind of a ridiculous thought process, but it's one that we kind of get hung up in. And thinking that we don't play a significant enough role. Well, if I was gifted that way, it would matter differently. Well, maybe if I was like that or that person, it would matter. And he's saying, no. You matter. And how I've created you and gifted you and shaped you, that matters. Now, I got to thinking, do you guys remember Mr. Potato Head? Yeah? And Mr. Potato Head quite possibly was made because of this passage of scripture. I don't know this to be fact, but I thank him. Because Mr. Potato Head gave us the ability to think through exactly what Paul was saying. Because you put his feet hanging out the side of his head. You put his lips on top, right? You put these external body parts all over. And you'd use all the parts and it would be looking all messed up. And you know, not one time did you go, this is a perfect picture, right? You never thought that. As a matter of fact, as kids, when we would play with Miss Potato, we'd giggle because we'd make these absurd looking, images, right? But the reality is this, if I handed a Mr. Potato, don't get excited, I'm not, but if I handed one out to every single one of you right now, I want to be able to say, hey, look under your chair right now, but I would be lying. But anyway, but if we did, you would do the very thing. Because in our minds, well, it's boring to put the lips right here. It's boring to put the eyes right there, right? And that's exactly the way that somehow, unfortunately, we view how God has gifted us in the unique ways that he's gifted us. We always wish we had something else. And God says, I've gifted you and equipped you. You're unique. I need you. Now, isn't it, important to realize like the kind things that can come out of our mouth really are a game changer in relationships. Do you realize today, as you smile at people, right? There's a sense that puts people at ease, right? I mean, if your choices are smile at somebody or look mean at them, which one are you gonna choose? And some of you, I can tell which one you're choosing. You may wanna choose the other, but in that, right? There's just something unique that somebody says. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just pause, look at the person next to you and smile at them real quick? I didn't say wink, I just said smile, right? And when they turn their head on you, don't be offended, right? Because what happens in this is we recognize that there's something in us where we can put people at ease just by the way that we look at them, smile at them, speak to them, using what God has given us to honor him and to bless others. That's exactly how God has created each one of us in a unique way, to honor God and to bless others. The reality is our gifts aren't for us, they're for others. We're gifted in unique ways to bless others. And the unity is in the Spirit of God. That's really the beautiful component. Psalm 139 talks about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Right, we have this incredible system that God created in us, right? With our nervous system and cardiovascular system, our muscle structure and skeleton, all these things, right? Our brain, it's amazing. The things that we can retain. And sometimes I wonder why I retain the things I do, and I seem to struggle with things that I wish I could retain, right? And our digestive system and veins and arteries and all these unique things that are so incredible. And yet we don't often ever pause and think about anything that is hidden on the inside. And yet it's all critical to our lives. We spend so much time worrying about what the outside looks like, right? It's just kind of backwards. And so the reality is when we see that there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12, right? That variety of gifts, but the same Spirit in verse 4. There's a variety of ministries and the same Lord, right? You begin to see the focus. It's unique. And our focus is Jesus, right? It says there's a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So grateful to recognize that the same God is at work in you as it's at work in me. Once we embrace the gospel, the Holy Spirit does the work of the Holy Spirit in us, leading us, guiding us, right, into all truth and to be able to use the gifts that we've ultimately been given in our life. Our gifts are for others, I said that. And we need to recognize the value that those gifts play in other people's lives. Now, something else I've heard here at the Well, my very first Sunday, actually, I was sitting in the back corner, and I was on sabbatical. I was at another church at the time. I was on sabbatical, sitting in the back corner, kind of on my own, and I heard this idea that said, we're not a cruise ship, we're a battleship. And I was like, I like that, right? I mean, we recognize there's a difference, right? My wife and I went on a cruise. We got married and then we went on a cruise 31 years ago. And then we got pampered, right? Because that's what it is. Because you go on a cruise, why? Because you can eat everything all the time. Which there's probably not a great value in that, but we put a lot of value in that, right? And so there's entertainment, there's good music, and it's comfortable. We can sleep until whenever, you know, all these different things, right? And if we're not careful, we begin to look at God's church and through that same lens. That if there's not a particular type of music, or they didn't sing my song, right? Or I don't care for the coffee, or they didn't have enough coffee, you know, whatever it might be, right? And so we begin to view God's church as this cruise ship that I paid a lot of money to be here, right? You know, kind of thing. And yet then with a battleship, the most important thing is the connection with the captain and the respect and to know who it is that's in charge, God, right? In all of this. And that we have a conviction that we're working towards a common goal. We listen for instruction, right? We're mission focused. Now, I've never served in the armed forces at all. I'm an avid TV and movie watcher, though, I've seen what it's like to be on a battleship on TV, right? And so somehow or another, like this siren goes off, right? And it's like, man, your battle stations, right? Or maybe that was Battlestar Galactica. I can't remember which, but it's like you knew exactly. It was chaos for moments where everybody was heading their unique directions to do what they've been trained and they're gifted to do. And they're going to work together to be a fortress, a force to be reckoned with. And that's exactly what God's church is. A force to be reckoned with in this crazy world in which we live. And that is why every one of us, uniquely gifted, playing our role, is so vital and critical to all of it. Number three we can say is that we're equipped. We've been equipped to serve, right? Ephesians 4 says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints. Right, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And we can kind of get tangled up in the weeds, and there's some different interpretations maybe for some of these gifts and things. But the reality, here's what we do know, that leaders in the church have been given to equip the body, right? And so we get to play that role to help equip, right, our fellow members in all of this. And what's very clear is that anyone who is a saint, a person who has embraced the gospel, right, is called to the work of service in the body of Christ. That's what we're clear about. And it's to recognize that we have been called, we've been equipped to play a role in all of this. And that is an honoring position to be in, a humbling position to be in, to recognize that God wants to use me in his kingdom efforts, even right here in this church, and that we get to serve together and we get to help others, by serving them. When I moved to Fresno in 1993, I joined this small church, and the first day I was there, they said, "Hey, would you like to start working with our middle school and high school students?" And I said, "Absolutely." And then the next week, all the other volunteers quit. Yeah, left me high and dry. They said, "We've been doing this for years. We have you now, right?" Yeah. Now, it was a lonely spot for a little while, but you know what was so unique is that God, I had no idea that God was going to use that moment in time to basically shape my life for the next 25 years, serving middle school and high school students. And along the way, feeling so overwhelmed, right? Understaffed. I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and yet God stretched me in this whole time, brought incredible people into my life to help serve, you know, like such this beautiful picture. And I think what happens sometimes is you know, we want to be that person that says, "Oh, great, you're here now. I can stop." As opposed to saying, "It's great that you're here. Now we can stand shoulder to shoulder," right? We can so accomplish more in all of this. And I think that's the incredible idea, is that we just don't know sometimes when we walk through that door what God has for us. Now, there are unique things right here at the Well Community Church in the Sunday a.m. time. There are unique aspects and needs that exist. I just want to point a few of them out, like things like we have a care team that come alongside folks who have lost a loved one or going through difficult times, illness. Like maybe you're not going to stand out here and grieve, but maybe you're going to be somebody who can prepare meals and care for people that way. Maybe you'd like to come in and be kind of a care shepherd who call and meet with people just to encourage them, because life's hard. Can we all agree that life is hard? And it's just amazing to have somebody come alongside us. We have a communion team that once a month puts out, you know, the elements for us to grab on our way in. That's just a once a month opportunity. Our connections team, imagine no greeters anywhere, nobody making coffee, this place is a mess, you know, kind of thing. And so knowing that there's opportunities for you to get on board and help in those areas. Our kids ministry, in just my few months here, man, kids ministry is blowing up, right? We heard about 200 two-year-olds, all that work during COVID that everybody did, you know, and there's still needs in that two-year-old, you know, world over there. And so you could be a part of that, right? You could go in and help and all the different age groups, right? We have needs in those areas. Our special needs ministry that you saw Brooke on the screen, I don't know if you know this, but it started at the 8:30 service and it's already expanded now to the 11:30 service, all right? And we need more folks to help at 11:30, right? So what does that look like to help care for and encourage, you know, our folks with special needs? Our production team is looking to expand. You know, these guys, you know, you realize you can't tell this. I'm 25 pounds heavier. You can't tell that because they do such an incredible job back there, right? They'll teach you their tricks if you'll be willing to serve once a month, okay? Yeah. I mentioned earlier life group leaders. We're going to need more life group leaders. Why? Because for all of us that just went through foundations and we're blessed to grow and be stretched and to learn, now we need others because there are hundreds and hundreds of more people that are continuing to come here to the Well. And so in February, when the launch happens, we've got to be ready with leaders. And so you can step into that and be a part of that. Our prayer team that helps out over here, maybe you've been a recipient of just their encouragement to sit with you and listen to you and pray with you. And we'd love to expand that team. It's like the great theologian John Fogerty once said, "Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play." And that's really what we're looking like. We just got to be willing to jump in and make it happen. And the fourth thing is this, is that we're empowered to serve. We've been empowered to serve. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. Our empowerment is the Holy Spirit inside of us, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Just as he wills, right? He's a good, good father, caring for us. And now the Holy Spirit, right, does what? Empowers us to take that step. And so I recognize that many of you serve already, and we're so appreciative. We love that. It's incredible. Thank you for that. And for some, we're not. Maybe it's not even the season. Maybe it's a tough season right now, and I get that. And that's okay. That's okay. But maybe you're just now coming off that injured reserve list where you've kind of been on the shelf for a little while, mending up. And maybe it's time now you're going to step back in and you're going to begin to serve and you're going to begin to care for the needs of others in unique ways that God has gifted you to do that. And so what might it look like? What might it look like in your life? I just named off a bunch of things. You don't remember any of them. The good news is there are tents outside that you can walk out to and you can ask questions, right? It's like we even planned this. And if you want, you can pull out that connection card and you can just write, I want to serve. You can write that and you can turn that in. You can get online and you can hit what's next and you can click on serving and there's going to be opportunities on there for you to serve and then somebody's going to get in contact with you. But can I just encourage you, let's do this together. Let's be a force to be reckoned with as we continue to share the gospel and watch lives change. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, the things that you do in us and through us, the way that you shaped our lives, God, for unique service. And God, that we get to do this together, to recognize that independently we're really nothing, but with one another and the power of your Holy Spirit, God, we can really be a force to reckon with, to love on people, to encourage people, to welcome people, and to see your kingdom expanded. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.